Don't blame God. He sent his only son to die for us. Don't think God hates you. He came so he could redeem us. Remember that? And so we dealt with that. And then on your second page, we were near the bottom. Let's pick up there, on, 1 Peter 5, 7, the bottom of your paper there, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How many got that? And I was really preaching last Sunday. I got excited. We need to seek God's comfort. We need to seek his influence in our life. Amen. Too many times he's there, but we don't turn to him. And, I shared with you about claim his promises. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And, look at Mark chapter 5. I'm responding and thinking, about the Lord first. When you want comfort and help, I said, don't go to the world. Go to Christ first. And I tried to use this lady as an illustration. Notice, by the way, did we give a gift, Brother Carl, to our guest visiting this morning? We want to make sure we do that, okay? If you're visiting with us, would you raise your hand so our ushers could see that? Yes, we're glad to have you. Yes, man. Brother Bobby Burgess's mom is here. There's a young lady in the back there. We're thankful to have each one of you. Inside that packet, there's a gift. If you'll just make that card out, drop it in the offering plate later, it gives us a record of your visit. We're delighted that you're here. By the way, Betty, did Carrie have her baby yet? Still holding it good. Okay, still getting warm in there. Amen. All right, great. Every day she can go, the better it is for her and the baby. So we praise God for that. Alrighty. Notice in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. And a certain woman, are you in Mark 5? Which had an issue of blood 12 years. Had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but grew worse. I'm going to tell you, I thank God for doctors, but before I go to a doctor and stuff, I'm going to seek the great physician. Stella was talking about how we pray for this precious lady and the Lord intervened. All wisdom comes from God. When those doctors do something, it's because God gave them wisdom. I'm not against doctors, but I think a lot of times we could seek the Lord first. Maybe he could do it without them. Amen? I believe many times he could do a lot of things if we just seek him. I think we lack faith. And God says, oh, ye of little faith. But notice, Davey, this lady had this for 12 years. And Marie, she went everywhere. She went to every doctor she could find. She spent all her money, exhausted all her what she had, and she was not better, but she was worse. And then she went to Jesus. To me, that's a picture of the average person in America today. Amen. You're right. Amen. It is normal. And so this lady, when did you see, when did she turn to Christ? When everything else failed. And that's what we normally do. We'll try everything the world has first, and then when there's nothing else, no other resources, nothing else to turn to, then we turn to the Lord. We ought to turn to God first. Seek Him first. Yes. 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 King Asa, very ill, and then he was healed. But did he have leprosy? I'm trying to pull that up. King Asa was a great king. He got rid of all the Sodomites. I know that. Yeah. And so, but anyways, he was a good king, I'll tell you that. We need a king like that. Anyways, don't get into that, preacher. I think many times people fail to seek the Lord. He's there, and we don't take advantage of it. And the Bible says, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. And cast, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care, for he careth for you. I noted also, look at the bottom of your paper, number 2 on page 2. Think of others. Do for others. We need to understand. Stay there in Mark chapter 5. I'm going to show you something else. Think of others. Do for others. We need to understand and accept that the burdens and sufferings are going to come into our lives. They're going to come. Look up here. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean my life is going to be all roses. Your life's not going to be all roses. We live in a cursed world, and it's heartache and sorrow and suffering and bitterness and burdens. And I'm going to tell you, that's what this world's all about. And we need to understand, we're going to be that way till Jesus comes. So why not use Jesus to help us through it? Amen? And not that, let's not become bitter. Let's become better. Here's one way to become better while you're suffering and going through sorrow. Think of others. Do for others. We need to understand and accept the burdens and sufferings that are going to come into our life. Remember, others around you are suffering with trials and hardships also. You're not the only one going through trouble. Look at your next page if you got your papers with me, page 3. You are not alone in your sufferings. You say, man, God must hate me. No one's going through stuff like this. Yes, they are. This might not be exactly about suffering, but, I remember Elijah, the prophet. He said, I am here to take on the people. And God says, hey, I've reserved 7,000. We get pity parties. Sometimes we think we're the only one suffering. Sometimes we think we're the only one fighting the battle. Sometimes we think we're the only one staying on the front line. No, there's other Christians out there, and they're going through it too. Satan tries to get you discouraged. Oh, what's the use? By the way, I've been in my life many times, what's the use? How many of you have ever thought that? Oh, what's the use of going on? And that's what Satan wants. But God says, keep on marching forward, Christians. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But notice the top of your paper. You are not alone in your sufferings. In your sufferings, get caught up with others who also are suffering. Are you still in the book of Mark? Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I don't think I have these noted on your papers. So you might want to note these things. Do I have this on your paper? Oh, great. Yeah. Hallelujah. I just didn't look down far enough. Look at Mark 4:35. And the same day when the evening was come, are you in Mark 4? Verse 35? Jesus said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Wasn't just the one ship. There was a lot of little ones that went out with them also. And there arose a great storm of wind. Notice what it says there in verse 30. And the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. Hey, can I ask you something? If it was, if the waves were coming into the big ship, what was it doing to the little ships? It says there were other little ships. How many see that? Brother Jack, we might be having it rough, but I'm going to tell you, someone might be having it rougher than we are. Think about others.
Well, God hates me. I'm going through this.
They found out Jesus didn't hate him. He was sleeping. He wasn't even worried because he knew you can't sink him. As long as you're in Christ, you're unsinkable. Amen? And the Bible says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Now let me encourage you. When you're going through a hardship and a sorrow, look around for someone to help. Look around for someone to help. Look what I wrote in your paper. Dr. Hiles always said, be good to someone today because everyone's having a hard time. Brother Mike, the more we go on, it seems like life gets harder and harder, and it seems like everything's accelerating up. And I'm going to tell you, as a pastor of over 25 years, going 26 years now, one thing I know about Christians' lives is it's not getting easier for us. It's getting harder. Did you know the Christian life is a battle? The Christian life is a battle. It's a Christian life is suffering. But the Christian life, through the suffering, we should learn steadfastness. When you are going through a sorrow and hard times, many times, if you'll reach out to help someone else, you actually help yourself. Because what it does, if I'm going through a lot of hardships, Bobby, when I reach out to help someone, I get caught up in their problem, I forget about mine. Many times, if you just sulk and think, oh man, this is, you know, it's not going to help you at all. And so, remember, there's a lot of other, if they thought they were bad, Brian, on that big ship with Jesus, what about all the little ships? They were in a whole lot more deeper water than they were. They had, those waves were a lot larger to them than the ones to the big ship. But did you notice? They all got to the other side. You stay in the boat with Jesus, you'll never sink. Too many Christians will bail out, Carl. They bail out and they wonder why they sink. Stay in the ship. I don't care how deep the water gets. Stay in the ship. Don't bail out. Notice in Galatians 6:2, I put it under, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, we are to care about all people, especially the brethren of the household of faith. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look at Galatians 6 with me. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians is right before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we, then verse 10, as we, by the way, did you notice what verse 9 said? Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of being a blessing. Don't get tired of helping others. Don't get weary of caring about others. Keep doing it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, saved and lost. But watch what he says. Especially though, unto them who are of the household of faith. Bobby, we as Christians ought to have a special concern, a special interest, a special help for those who are saved. I'm to care about the lost always, but I'm But in that caring, I'm even to care more about the my brother in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when you get caught up with others, you'll be surprised how those heartaches and sorrows and burdens of life seem to be minimal. And I can't tell you a greater truth than what I'm trying to tell you right now. In the midst of your heartaches and sorrow, get caught up for others. It's a remedy for your, it's your, see, God says, I'm going to comfort you over in Corinthians. I'm going to comfort you so you can comfort others. I think it's chapter 1, right over there. Let's look at that. I didn't have that plan. Yeah, 2, right at the front of it. Didn't have that plan, but I want to. Yeah, 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians. Yeah. Yeah, it was chapter 1, wasn't it? Yeah, look at verse 3. Well, look at verse 2. Grace be you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Man, that's our source. Our comfort's in Him. Our help's in Him. Our encouragement's in Him. Our healing is in Him. Our victory is in Him. We overcome through Him and in Him and for Him. Look at verse 4. This great Father of mercies and God of comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Notice, why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Sue Vance is being a good comfort now to Annie Saylor. A year ago, Grandma Sue went through the open heart surgery. She called Annie and talked to Annie a lot, encouraged her, hey, I went through this. I want to tell you how we got through this. And see, sometimes God has us go through things so we can help others in the future. Many people have fought through cancer and things like that. And I know your feeling. Let me share with you. Look what God did for me through this. And so, listen, God comforts us, not just to give us comfort, but also that we might use that comfort and comfort others. Just like I always teach my classes when I instruct in the Bible Institute. The reason we teach is so you'll teach others also. The theme of our school is, and the things that thou hast done among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Watch this. God, I want to learn more. Oh God, give me truth. Teach me wisdom. Teach me things of you, Father. Give me great truth from the scriptures. All right, God comes down and gives it to you. Once you get something, you're to give it out. Mel, you're the perfect example. Mel comes to Romans on Tuesday, learns on Tuesday, and goes back where he works on Wednesday and Thursday and teaches Bible classes on Romans. He takes what he learns, those lessons, and goes to the next day and teaches other people. By the way, if people say, gimme, 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 God will give it to you. But if you don't give it out, he say, then it stops. Why should he give you any more if you won't pass it on? Why should he give us comfort unless we don't give comfort out to others? Why should he give us money if we don't pass it on to others and for his work? Why should he give us encouragement if we don't pass encouragement? How many are with me? It works for everything. Are you with me, class? And a lot of people, they just want to hoard it. Oh, I just want to learn. I just want to learn. No. You'll never go up the ladder. He'll stop teaching you. Because if you won't share what he gives you, then there's no reason for you to learn. See, I wanted to be a reservoir of learning so I could give it out. Are you with me? And notice your paper there again, under verse 4. Who comfort us in all. Look at that verse 4. In all our tribulation, not just some of it. If we'll let him, he'll help us in all things. That we may be able, he's furnishing us. That we may be able to comfort them which also are in any trouble. By the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I want to tell you, the sufferings, through sufferings, we get stronger for Christ and we can help others. Notice what I got in your paper there. When you think of others, right below Galatians 6:10 there, when you think of others and do for others, you not only help them, but you help yourself through your heartaches and troubles and trials, because you're not continually to focus on your problem, but theirs. We should want to be like Jesus, who was our greatest example. In the midst of all his suffering, he reached out to help others. Think with me. In the pinnacle, in the highest suffering of Christ, he's on the cross of Calvary. What's he cry out? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's suffering, and he's trying to help us. Christ was our greatest example. Read and study about the life of Christ and say, oh God, let me be like him. There's no greater example than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, no one ever suffered like our Savior. He suffered more than any man had ever lived or ever will live. Notice I put down there, read Philippians 3:10. Ephesians, Philippians 3:10. Look at Paul said, that I may know him. The trouble is we don't know him. That I may know him. When you know him, you can face a lot of things. And the power of his resurrection, by the way, until you know him, you won't know that power. And the power of his resurrection, because Tommy, everything relies on that resurrection. And by the way, that resurrection, Romans 1:3, proved that Jesus was the Son of God. Because when God said, you want my litmus test? Who the true Son of God is? I know a lot of people say they are. But the one that raised from the grave the third day, that's the only begotten Son of God. Guess what? That was Jesus. One sun, moon, one Allah, one Buddha. No, it was Jesus. Amen. And Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the felt watch. Oh, we like that power. Now watch the next. It didn't end though. And the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. Yeah. See, we like all the good stuff, but boy, we don't want to taste any of the bad stuff. Hello? But see, when I suffer, I identify with my Savior. He was a suffering Savior. Look at 1 Peter. Look in the back of your Bible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Peter 4, 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Well, I'm going to tell you, Brother Brian, it's hard for me when I'm sick, it's hard for me to say, I know, one more bell. It's hard for me to say, glory to God, I'm suffering for, you know. How many of you say, man, I'm glad I got pneumonia for Jesus. Well, you got pneumonia because you're in a sin-cursed world, but as you're suffering, you can say, hey, my Savior suffered. And this helps me to understand some of the things that my Savior went through. All for me. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Look up here. We got suffering. We also have glory. I can't wait to the glorification. Amen. That's going to be wonderful, isn't it? We want all the glory, but we don't want no suffering. But to get, you're going to go through life. You are going to get the glory, but you are going to have suffering too. And he says, take it in stride when you do that. It's that, look at that scripture. But rejoice. Rejoice. Why am I rejoicing? Because I know one day it's going to be over with. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. That's exciting. Hey man, just like you're not happy, you're gonna be exceedingly joyful when the glory comes. Note also, conclusion. To stay in Peter, because I'm gonna read another scripture in 1 Peter 2:21. We should look at our sufferings not as a bitter judgment, but an opportunity to share in Christ's sufferings. We should always try to be a blessing and comfort to others in their time of suffering and burdens. Look around. There's other little ships that are in worse trouble than you. Then see, through our sufferings, we can bring glory to Jesus' name, showing forth praise and honor instead of bitterness and shame. Looking for the good that can be derived from the situations we are faced with instead of looking for the bad. Now, I want you to look at a couple of scriptures and we'll be all done. Look at 1 Peter 2:21 while you're there. 2:21. For even herein were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. When we suffer, look at, I'm just following in my Lord's footsteps. He suffered for you, for me. He did suffer. Amen? Christ suffered for all of us. He suffered and died for our sins. Phyllis, he was sinless. Yet he suffered all for us. Amen? He was the just that died for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. So, look at, we were yet called because Christ also suffers, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Did Jesus complain when he suffered? Did Jesus get mad at God the Father when he suffered? Well, we ought to use that as an example. We ought not get mad at God. We ought not blame God. We ought to be obedient to whatever the Father has before us in our life. And quickly, I want to close with this. And here's the reason why. Two things, and we're going to close. And next week, we're going to start lesson four. Knowing one day, all our suffering will end. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Here's what you know, child of God. Look at Revelation 21, verse 1 through 5. I saw a new heaven, new earth. First heaven, first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Out of heaven prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look at verse 4, Revelation 21, 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. That's what I'm heading for someday. I'm going to a place where I don't have to say, Grandpa Lemley, there won't be no funerals, there won't be no cemeteries, there won't be no hospitals, because I'm going to a place where no one ever has any more sorrow. Amen? Look at verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are what? True and faithful. The old timers, we know, God says, take it to the bank! It's gonna happen. One last scripture. We're done. We're done for today. We're done for this one lesson. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Here's another reason. Don't give up over sufferings. The Bible says in Romans 8:18, for I reckon, I wonder if he was from the South. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, you take all the sufferings, take all the sufferings of all the world. I mean, compile all of all humanity from all time. Take all the sufferings for all eternity, and it won't compare. If you put them on a scale, Jimmy, it won't compare to how great glory is going to be. Isn't that something? And when we get there in that glory, all the sufferings that we ever went through will be forever forgotten. Wow. What was that like? You know what? I can't remember. I'm so caught up now. I can't remember those sorrows of the past. Amen? Oh, I know we are going to have to suffer. But let's take those sufferings and take them for the glory of God. Amen? Let's not become bitter at God in our sufferings, in our trials. Let's become better for God. Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray now you'll bless our people. Help us as we go through this life of suffering and burdens. Help us to look them in the face and Father, to get victory over each one through Christ Jesus. Thank you for this time of study. Continue us as we bless us. Lord, enlarge our tents in 2007. Would to God this auditorium would fill up as we teach the Word of God. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Next Sunday, I'll be passing out on the home. Don't miss next Sunday, 9:30.